Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Welcome back to Macabre Mondays, where mystery meets macabre with your favorite Deadly Mary duo. I'm Alan.
And I'm Tom.
Your guides through the strange, the sinister,
and the spooky. Spooky, scary skeletons send shivers down your spine.
Where I tell the stories and he gets dragged along for the ride. Now, before we get into today's episode, I know we announced it on this in socials as a teaser this week. There's going to be 13 nights of macabre.
13 nights of what?
Macabre, macabre, macabre. Macabre. It's supposed to be an echo. Anyways, 13 nights of macabre.
You know what that is?
No, what is that?
That's the Atari Olympic crowd cheering for you.
The Atari,
and on the game Atari, they used to have the Olympics.
Dude, yes.
And that's how the crowd cheered.
It just sounded like, literally, I forgot about that. It kind of sounds like a Death Eater now.
What?
Yo, imagine if the Death Eaters had like halitosis.
What the hell?
They're like, yo, and then like in the scenes, Harry's like, oh. Like that knocks his ass out.
No, they talk like what is the guy from Hamilton? He also was in Frozen, and he played the King George. Imagine if they were like that and they were spitting.
Oh my god, that'd be so bad. Honestly though, back then they could have had halitosis because there's really no cure for anything. So,
baby, that was 21st century. That wasn't back then.
Are you talking? I'm talking about Alexander
Harry
Hamilton.
Potter. I thought I was like, yo, Harry Potter wasn't that long ago.
No, no, I meant the Hamilton. But anyways, back on track. Okay,
13 nights.
It's gonna be 13 nights. Okay, we've got it. Okay, from October 18th to the 30th. It's going to be one chilling story, 13 nights, 13 chapters each night, okay?
How many chapters each night?
13 chapters. 13 chapters. 13 chapters each. No, not each night. One chapter a night for 13 nights, okay?
For 13 nights.
It is going to be so much fun. We've been working with a very talented young creative story writer. Mm-hmm. And when I was trying to come up with an idea to do something fun for October for you guys, I was thinking, oh my god, 13 nights of macabre would be so much fun. He ate up the idea. He was like, oh, I'm gonna write a spooky story. Killed it. You guys are gonna love it. I cannot wait. It is just like, I just love Halloween.
She is obsessed with Halloween. I cannot wait to be scared.
I love it so freaking much. And I can't wait for you guys to hear the story because we've been working on it and it's just, oh, I'm just so excited for you guys. This is the merriest I'll be all year.
Fall is when Ale is at her peak every year.
Yes. No, I will agree. I will agree. It's going to feel kind of like a bedtime story, scary thing. Everything will still stay the same. We will still be putting out episodes every Monday, but this is just going to be an added bonus of 13 episodes, but it's going to be 13 chapters, 13 nights, one chilling story.
You know, we're like Freeform, but better.
Oh my God. Yes. I love that compliment. That's very sweet of you. Okay. We can get into it now. So mark your calendars, October 18th to the 30th. It's going to be so much fun. So let's get into the story of today.
Where are we going today?
Where are we going, Tom? Arkansas, Arizona.
East Coast or West Coast? Actually, correction, U.S. or
yes,
international?
Yes, U.S.
Okay, east. So East Coast?
East Coast, U.S.
West Virginia?
No. Not West Virginia. We are going?
Virginia.
No. Where are we going today? Oh, no, I'm way off. I was thinking about another episode. I was thinking about another case. We are going to Texas, baby.
Everything bigger in Texas.
Everything is bigger in Texas, okay? Have you ever heard of the names Fred and Edwina Rogers?
No, I've only heard of Fred Flintstone.
Okay, well, you're about to find out who Fred and Edwina Rogers are. Before I start the story, okay, one of the things that I wanted to address, because I feel like we've never addressed in any of the episodes, when you guys notice this chime, and I'll add it here.
Oh. I was waiting for it to play. I was like,
bling. Yes, whenever you notice this chime, just know that's pretty much like our way of giving a trigger warning, which I'm sure a lot of people have kind of caught on to that. There are sometimes I'm really into the storytelling, Tom, that I forget to state that there could be a trigger or whatever. And so whenever you guys hear that chime, just know, trigger warning, okay?
We're trying to Pavlov you.
Imagine every time the time
they start
subscribes.
Salivating.
I'm like, oh my god, we're getting a multiple amounts of subscribers lately. Let me start getting into it. So Fred and Edwina Rogers lived in a modest bungalow at 815 Driscoll Street, okay, in Houston's neighborhood. Well, in Texas, Houston, in a neighborhood called Montrose. I know, I made that a little bit more.
In Houston, Texas?
In Texas, Houston. And, oh my goodness.
Houston, Texas.
Why am I doing that?
Arnold Palmer.
Okay. That was last episode. Forget about it. Okay. But anyways, they lived in a neighborhood in Houston, Texas called Montrose. Okay. Have you ever heard of it? I don't really know much about Texas, to be honest. Yeah.
You know, I think Houston, Fort Worth, Dallas, I felt like all of them were all together.
Yeah. Yeah.
Come to find out they're not.
They're not. They're way off from each other. Yeah. Well, from what I was seeing, it's west of downtown Houston. So.
Okay.
I don't know if that helps anything, but I saw it and I was like, let me just add it. Now, Fred was 81 and was known around town as a difficult man. He'd once been accused of forging like checks, and he was kind of rumored to have ties and maybe gambling, or maybe he was a bookie, and he was described as kind of like a gruff and sometimes could be violent, but this is all just rumors. We're not really sure.
Okay.
Now, Edwina, she was 72 and she lived more kind of in his shadow. She seemed to be like just housewife, you know, lived very much kept to herself, didn't have that many friends. She lived at home with Fred. And they had a son. The son is called Charles, and he was like in his 40s and he still lived at home with them. But from what I was reading, neighbors said that they would rarely see him.
Okay. Their son?
Their son, yeah. And so, okay, so, and the reason why I'm saying this, because I should have mentioned this the minute I started the story, was that this is 1965. Neighborhood in Houston,
Small
Texas,
town.
Montrose. Yeah.
Everybody knows everybody.
Yeah, everybody knows everybody, okay? So neighbors would say that they rarely saw him. They're like, I didn't even know he lived there, because that's how rare they saw him. Now, it was June 23rd of 1965 after Edwina's nephew, Marvin, couldn't get in touch with his aunt and uncle. So they were concerned and they called Houston police to do a welfare check.
Mm-hmm.
When the officers entered the house, they immediately noticed how strangely neat things were.
Okay, red flag.
Tom's like, I've heard of these stories before. Don't like it. There was also no sign of forced entry. There was no kind of ransacked drawers or rummaging of some sorts. Nothing really seemed out of place. Yeah.
Is this whole family getting ready to disappear again? Well, I say again. if you don't know what I'm referring to.
Yeah.
The
Are
DuPont
Dillingen. Dillingen, yeah. Xavier DuPont. That was a crazy story.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, exactly. But the one thing that they did notice was there was blood smears in the kitchen. They were kind of visible in the home, leading up to the kitchen, too.
Interesting.
So, of course, they follow the trail. And once in the kitchen, they noticed that the refrigerator had like blood smears on it as well. Inside, they open it. They notice that the fridge was like stacked full of food, vegetables, and an abundance of like hog meat, just pieces of meat, you know, smaller joints, things like that, all over the place in the fridge. So it's stacked.
Okay.
I mean, it's like Costco. If you go to Costco, your fridge is stacked.
Okay.
Not until the police go to close the door that they notice a head in the vegetable drawer.
Oh.
Now, the meat that was in the fridge wasn't actually an animal or animal meat.
It was human?
It was human meat.
Of course it was.
The heads in the fridge were of Fred and Edwina Rogers, hidden in the vegetable drawer.
Why would it not be human or them? I know.
I don't think you saw that one coming.
I would say I didn't, but at the same time, would it be Macabre Mondays if this isn't the story?
I'm going to surprise you with an episode one day.
Okay.
Don't worry. I'll surprise you with an episode. You're going to be like, no way. That was actually the most positive episode ever.
The first eight. Oh.
No,
oh,
I'm saying like positive. I'm going to surprise you where it's going to be
a happy ending.
Yes.
They actually weren't dead.
Joke's on you. It's gone, girl. No. That movie is so good if you guys haven't seen it. But anyways, so investigators end up compiling all this evidence and they end up finding out that both Fred and Edwina were dragged to like the master bathroom, drained of their blood, chopped up, and placed in the fridge.
Damn it, Charles.
Well, how do you know it's Charles?
He's the only one living.
You're
them.
Like, I know he lives at home. Well, the thing was that I was reading that either their organs were flushed down in the bathroom or their organs were tossed in a nearby sewer line. But regardless, I'm not entirely sure which one it was, but regardless, they were flushed somehow.
Somehow.
It was either in the bathroom or it was in the sewer line. It were flushed.
We're not talking Dexter, dump in the ocean. We're talking flushed.
Well, yeah, because they live in Houston. They got nowhere near the coast there. Yeah.
2.5 hours,
I think. No, but they were flushed. So the autopsy later revealed that Fred was actually beaten with a blunt object, which from what I was seeing, it was like a claw hammer.
Oh my gosh. What is with people using hammers
kill people? The claw hammer thing is killing me. I just stop doing that, please. Just stop killing in general. Like, I think that would be amazing, but...
Yes.
Now, he was beaten in the head with a blunt object, and, like, his head was crushed. I also was seeing that they said that his eyes were gouged out.
What the heck? Never mind. Let's get into it. I guess my question is, if you're killing somebody, why do you feel the need to gouge the eyes out if they're already dead? Unless you're fighting them, then all I think of is action movies where it's like, oh, let me put my thumbs in your eyes.
Yeah, like self-defense or something.
But
that, I know.
But you're not... What the heck?
I mean, the whole ordeal is just... Yeah, but I see what you're saying, like the gouging of eyes. Ugh.
Let's keep going.
No, it's raw. And I mean, that's what makes these stories so horrible. I mean, anybody that gets killed, like, what the hell, or murdered, or just, it's ridiculous. It's absolutely horrible. Now, Edwina, on the other hand, had been shot execution style in the head before her body was dismembered. So it seemed like...
Why so drastically different?
I know. That's what I was going to say. It seems like it seems like Fred pretty much got the brunt of it, essentially. I mean, his eyes were gouged out. He was murdered by a hammer to the head. Blunt, like, come on.
I'm waiting for you to flip the narrative, and then all of a sudden you tell me, so Charles was actually innocent, and Edwina had actually murdered her husband, Fred, and then set up a gun to make it look like she killed herself, and then hired somebody to chop her body up and put it in the fridge.
Oh my God. I know we're in the West, but it's not the Wild Wild West. Damn. That's giving me movie vibe. Okay, I think I've seen something like that. I think I've seen something like in a movie.
Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Oh, no, definitely not. So they end up noticing that they start investigating, right? And they believe that they were likely killed earlier on Father's Day. So it was like 3 days earlier.
I mean, makes sense as to why the bodies would have been in the fridge, but...
Right, because they were thinking that it would maybe help delay the discovery of them.
I was going to say, yeah, that, but also, how are you... I guess this is my question more of a investigating...
Like, curious?
How do you... Obviously, you know the temperature of the fridge, but how are you able to actually fully determine how many days prior because of the temperature of the fridge, like, what all
well, they
into
do
that,
like
know?
I know. I mean, I don't know everything. I just know from the stuff I've read and like shows and movies. It also depends on like rigor mortis, and I guess they know.
See.
So they can see like when you stopped, like when you it was your last breath, and then I see what you're saying.
Because the thing is, the bodies were all chopped up, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they were all chopped
so
up.
So that's also where it's. I guess I'm just not.
Yeah, that's a good question.
That part
though.
Intrigues me.
That's a good question.
About it. Because I want to understand from an investigator's point, how do you actually determine when something is that mangled what the cause of death was.
Right. I mean, there's so much science behind it. Oh my God, we should see if we can find like a pathologist or an autopsy technician.
That'd be actually really...
An investigator or anybody.
If you guys haven't listened to Fox Hollow Farms, you'll know that all the bones are at my old university,
mm-hmm.
which is where a lot of pathologists practice learning
their skill. We have to go all the way to Indiana.
No, I was going to say that maybe someone I know knows someone that is
knows
a pathologist.
Someone? Oh my God, that would be amazing. We'll let you guys know. We'll see
we'll
what
try
we
to
can
find
do. Because there's, I know what you mean.
That would be so interesting.
That's the questions that I have too. It's just like how the science behind
what questions
it.
Questions don't you have though?
Well, yeah, that's besides the point. But that's besides the point. But yes, I know exactly what you mean because I think the same. I'm like, there's just so much behind it that we don't even know. I mean, they study this for a living and they've seen. I mean,
I
they
mean,
have to
it's
read
literally
the,
what Dexter. Dexter somewhat did that.
The show.
In blood splatter.
Analysis. Yes.
Which that in itself is also so crazy.
Amazing work. Like, I really just can't. It's just, it's really interesting. Yes. It's really
Anyways,
interesting.
Anyways, sorry.
That was
my
a
questions,
good question.
My questions just get the best of me sometimes.
No, that was a good question. So they end up figuring out that the house was actually carefully cleaned, but there was still some blood splatter around. Now, when they were investigating, they noticed blood traces in the house, especially leading up the stairs, ending at the attic door, which is where their son Charles Roger lived.
Okay.
He lived in the attic. Now, inside the attic, they end up finding, like, the blood literally stops at the keyhole. Like, there's blood in the keyhole, apparently. Yeah.
How do you get blood in the keyhole?
I don't know.
Did you get blood on the key and then
actually,
you insert
you know
the
what?
Key?
Ask me that question. Remind me to ask me that question after we get more into it because now I have an idea. I have a thought process. Okay.
Sounds good.
Now, once they go inside, they can't find Charles anywhere. Like, Charles is nowhere to be found.
Damn it, Charles.
Yeah, he's nowhere to be found. And they end up noticing that they find what appears to be like the murder weapon, like the hammer and other sorts of stuff, right?
Everything.
So, based on all this information, because they feel like the clues are pretty much piling,
telling
right?
What's
yes.
going on.
They started looking at Charles as their main suspect, but he was nowhere to be found. He kind of like vanished like a ghost.
I mean, to be fair, it seems like he's been nowhere to be found
for a
years,
while. Yeah, a while. You know? Even the neighbors are like, "Who? Who is that man?"
They
I don't
have
know
a
who
kid?
That man is. Kiki Palmer. I don't know who that man is. Yes, exactly. Now, Charles was 43 at the time and technically, like I said, he did live with his parents, though lived in was a stretch because a lot of the neighbors would say that they never saw him. Come to find out, the only time that the neighbors would see him were only in the early morning hours when he would like leave the house or really late at night whenever he would return. So it sounds like he's only coming home to take a few hours to sleep.
Yeah.
And then he's out all day. Sounds like it.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Sounds like it. So on paper.
He's working.
Right. But they're like, we don't even see him ever. That's the thing. Even when you're working, you still see, you know, even our neighbors, like she works all the time, but I still see her randomly.
That's true.
I'm still like, oh, I know what she does. I know she's not like a vampire or something. You know what I mean? So on paper, Charles was pretty accomplished. He had served as a Navy pilot in World War II. He earned a geology degree from the University of Houston, and he worked as a seismologist for oil companies, mapping underground formations for drilling.
Isn't this funny? Because how many days, remember, it was yesterday. Remember I told you, I said, I got out of the shower. I was like, I've oddly been attracted to learning everything about oil rigs.
No, that was the most random.
Oil rigs
He's
have
like,
become
did you
my.
You know, 100 feet down under the surface is like.
No, it's a mile.
Yes.
Oil rigs have become my new Roman Empire. So it's kind of crazy that this is what this guy did because I understand now.
I find that funny.
Because I just learned about it.
Well, for those of you who don't know what a seismologist is, because I also looked it up, because I'll be honest with you, when I was reading this, I was like, huh? What's a seismologist?
I know.
No, you do know. You're so cool. No, that's cool, babe. No, so the seismologists, they study earthquakes and related ground vibrations, and they use instruments to record earth movement.
Okay.
Earth movement and interpret those signals to understand what's happening under the ground. Like, are you kidding me? There's just so much out there to learn. I just can't. I have so many questions.
And it's so crazy because they have them work on oil rigs and stuff. So they understand how should we construct this new rig and what kind of pockets might be down below the surface.
Yeah,
so crazy.
It's really, that's really interesting.
That's crazy how smart he is if he committed this. We don't know if he did or not yet.
Well, but, you don't know. I know.
Well, I don't.
Yeah.
But it's crazy to me because you would think somebody at this level of intelligence would also think through process.
And like know right from wrong to be. I know what you mean.
Well, I wasn't going to say right from wrong, but I was going to say if you're going to commit something like this, would know how to kind of cover his tracks.
Yeah, okay, that's good. That's very nice, Katie. That's good. Good note, babe. That's
thanks.
Good. No, yes. Okay, good point. And keep that in mind because he was also fluent in multiple languages. I didn't know which one specifically, but from what I was seeing, he knew multiple types of languages. Okay. So he's already really smart. He knows multiple languages. That's not easy. Okay. He also kept a ham sandwich radio. I mean... he also kept a ham radio in his room, in his attic room, okay? Now, this is the first time.
You said ham sandwich radio.
Sorry.
All I pictured is a ham sandwich with an antenna through the sandwich.
That should be a logo. No, well, I was like, because when I
oh, God.
Okay, apologies on that.
Ham radio.
Radio, yes. So I learned that he kept a ham radio in his attic room, okay? Which I didn't know what the hell a ham radio was. And I don't know if anybody else knows, but it is an amateur radio. And it's like licensed hobbyists using radios to talk regionally or worldwide. And it was, and it still apparently is, a very common hobby to this day. But in the 60s, it was very popular for long distance communication, technical tinkering, emergency comms, and meeting other operators, aka hams. How cute is that? At that point, call them ham sandwiches.
Fun fact, I don't think you've noticed this, but I believe it's on our way to Indiana when we're driving.
I passed one.
We pass a guy that has a whole setup. When you pass, it looks like a big spider web outside.
Why do I vaguely have a memory of that?
Probably because I've pointed it out.
Maybe you have.
It's near Jungle Gyms.
I think I know what you're saying. Oh, that's interesting. I didn't know that that's like a... I mean, this is like the first I ever hear about ham radios, which I thought was cool.
You mean ham sandwich radios?
Well, next time we pass them, I'll be like, ham! What's up, hammy? So they're gonna be like, who is this lady? What the hell is going on? But anyways, so he owned one of those, right? And one of the things that drew my attention was, okay, is that like normal for anybody to just have? I guess maybe in the 60s more normal, for sure, but for a seismologist, like, is that a required technical tool that they may need?
It doesn't seem like it is.
That's what I was reading. It doesn't seem, and also from everything I was reading about the investigations, it doesn't seem like a seismologist would actually need that. But so it could be that he just had it as a hobby.
I was going to say, it seems more like a hobby, like model trains
Right.
Because think about it. Back at this time, you had TVs, but for the most part, you only had a couple channels.
Yeah, in the 60s.
It wasn't like what you had today.
Oh, no. No, nowhere near.
And you also didn't have phones or...
Right, that's true.
You know?
That's true. So in all reality, with all these things combined, Charles was always described as just kind of strange, almost ghost-like, and he even... Oh my God, this part I thought was crazy. He even avoided people, like even his own parents. From what I was reading, investigators later end up learning that the only time he would actually communicate with his mom and his dad was when they would slip notes under his bedroom door to talk to him.
Oh.
Yes. And she would leave like his food at his bedroom door.
It gives me stepbrothers.
What part?
Like all of it.
How
they're both living at home and...
Yes, but this one does not have a happy ending. Yes, exactly.
Correct.
Yes. So like I said, the detectives believe that the killings took place on June 20th of Father's Day.
Oh, my birthday.
Your B-Day. And the evidence being that it points upstairs, you know, there's blood in other areas and the blood that's leading up is just going up to the attic door. And it doesn't go any further than that. So like it literally stops at the attic door.
So it really seems like it's...
Yeah, it just kind of, right, there's no signs of forced entry. There is no indication of there being a robbery. Police, obviously, at this point, are suspecting that he had murdered his parents, dismembered their bodies with a lot of precision is what I was seeing. And he cleaned what he could and disappeared. Now, at the time, from what I was reading, his car was even missing from the house. He had a 1959 Chevrolet. Okay, I don't know why I have to say
Chevrolet.
And the authorities issued a warrant for his arrest. But Charles was never seen again.
Oh, Mr. DuPont.
De Lyonnais.
Are you guys hanging out together?
No.
No.
Yeah, he's in France.
Yeah, well, you never know.
Well, that's true. Maybe there's like an island for...
Maybe Charles is Mr. DuPont. No, I'm just making up a crazy conspiracy.
Stop it. That's how those start. You had me thinking for a second. I almost left there. I was like, yo, could that? I was trying to get the years together, but no, that would not work at all whatsoever. He was 40 at this time.
Yeah, no.
And that happened way later. Okay.
It'd be crazy.
Yes, that would definitely be crazy. Now, till this day, okay, he still remains the police's prime suspect. Now, I'm going to go talk into the theories that are out there about what really happened to Fred and Edwina Rogers and where Charles may be. Once Charles ends up disappearing, clearly speculation takes over. Why would a man of his background kill his parents in such a brutal way? And how could he vanish without a trace? Right? Common questions that you're going to have with these type of cases. Mm-hmm. Now, my main thing when I read the whole, like, oh, how could he vanish without a trace? I feel like in the 60s, it was a lot easier to disappear.
Yeah.
I believe. I don't know. He could be wrong.
I think it's John Mulaney has a joke, and he literally says that back in, from the 20s to the 60s, that's when bank robbers were so, it was so easy to get away with something that bank robbers would literally, his joke goes, bank robbers would walk into something and they'd be like, and if anybody asks you who committed this robbery, you tell them it was the Herbert brothers.
Yes, I've seen that. I know exactly what you're talking about. But that's like...
But it's so true.
Yeah, and then they lock up like the brothers. Yeah,
like
exactly.
Bonnie and Clyde, prime example. They would literally go out and make sure people knew and people idolized them.
True. It's very true. Yeah, it's very true. And I even think about, because now... It would be hard
for real
to disappear without a trace. I mean, you have a digital footprint. We've got
cameras
everywhere. Everybody's got a Ring camera. Everybody now, like, cameras on the streets. Like, there's cameras everywhere. So I feel
Get me wrong. There's plenty of ways to do it, and there's plenty of CIA videos from former CIA agents that explain how to do it. But it's darn near impossible.
Yeah, I would. Yeah, it would. It would be hard. It would be very hard. Exactly. So the number one kind of simple theory, the one that kind of a lot of people gravitate towards, was the outcome was that Charles snapped. Straightforward.
He had a crash out, as the kids would say.
How the kids say now, crash out. Yes. So they're saying that he probably snapped, and that him and his parents must have had a toxic, strained relationship that caused this to happen.
That's so odd, because one, no offense, I'm not judging, but you're in your 40s living with your parents.
I know.
And they're in their 80s.
Facts.
There's two differences. You're in your 40s and you're taking care of your parents because they're in your 80s. And you're in your 40s living off of your parents who are in their 80s.
Right, right. Well, from what I was reading, which we'll talk a little bit more about it, but he did, he owned the house.
What?
Yes, he owned the house.
So, okay.
I know.
Interesting.
Okay. Now, Fred was rumored to be abusive and controlling. Again, rumored. And it was rumored, that Charles resented both of them. Okay. So police believe that, you know, he might have killed him after years of pent-up anger and dismembered the bodies and to hide them in the fridge so that it would take a delay to anybody to find them. And what I was reading was that based off of the way that they were murdered, right, if you think about it, like, it's a lot of rage.
Yeah.
To do all that. And then to dismember and to do that. So it just kind of points you to, it could be Charles, most likely.
Remind me after we finish filming, because this is now reminding me, we still need to watch Pain or Gain.
Yes,
it's
okay,
about about a true story, and when you watch it, you're gonna be thinking of parts of this case and just like, what?
Really?
It's gonna blow your mind.
All right, we're gonna have to watch that after. But again, so it's alleged, right? It's all speculative. They're not really sure if that's why he killed him. That's just the most straightforward theory. Yes, that is the most straightforward
theory. It also seems like nobody's seen him interact with them too,
right?
Neighbors or whatever. So it's, you can only go so far to try to figure out what would the reason be.
Right, right. What is the straightforward answer to that? Why he would snap and just...
Yeah, it just
brutally murder his parents and dismember them. Yes, exactly. But even if, let's say that is what happened, right? Let's say that's what it is. It's alleged. We don't know. That still leaves a question of how does he end up disappearing
without a trace?
Without a trace, right? No, like how does he
outside
do that?
Outside of it being the 60s.
Exactly. Outside of it being the 60s. Here is the next theory, okay? Now, this is kind of where things take
we got more theories?
A strange
turn. Okay, let's do it.
Some researchers and conspiracy theorists believe that Charles wasn't a geophysicist. They claim that he is tied to the CIA.
Okay, now.
Tom's like, I don't want to hear it.
Here's,
No.
I'm not saying I don't want to hear it because.
Okay.
In the military, you have three levels of secrecy.
Okay.
And I'm not talking security clearance. I'm talking, you have, and I have to look it up because I can't remember exactly what the acronym is. You have jobs like the Navy SEALs, which are secretive groups that perform secretive missions that we know exist.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have a secret group above that, which is considered Delta Force. They, and technically SEAL Team 6 is kind of tied at that same level. Those are groups that are ultra secret. Nobody knows who's in those groups.
Mm.
And typically your files are redacted, I think is the right term, to where your files kind of show you're part of a team, but it doesn't state what you do or anything.
It's just super under
wraps. All of your mission, a lot of stuff is under wraps. Then you have one above that, which I know me and my military buddy that we've talked to you one night about. There's one level above that. Level above that is you don't know these groups exist at all. You cannot find these groups at all. The only way you find out is you have to be picked. So if somebody actually comes to you.
Yo, that's like rule 101.
It's off. So the highest is that somebody has to be watching you.
Okay.
They evaluate you. They know that you're really skilled. You're
typically highly decorative. And they pick you out.
They pick you out. They'll come up to you, give you a business card, or they'll just tell you a number to write down.
They're like, meet me at 700 hours.
Basically kind of like that. God. And they'll just tell you, contact this number if you're interested in kind of taking a next step in your career. Now, what typically happens when that type of job happens, your file with the military, no matter how high your security clearance is, I'm talking you could be a general, it is going to be blocked from being able to see what that person's actual job was. It is a strict need to know basis.
So
unless
crazy.
You go through
like the
there's
movies.
There's like a whole system you have to go through if you're trying to pull files on that person, because you can get a DD-214 form or their military records. But what they might say on your records, if you're pulling them and you are not at that level of need to know, your records might just state that you were with, say, the Army Ranger Regiment, which would be the highest regiment they'll show you on paper that that person was
but
with.
But they can't tell you.
Even if they were in a secret division, because those secret divisions only last for specific missions.
Jeez,
so you'll get pulled in
insane.
To this elite group, typically Army Rangers, Delta Force. Elite missions, never on the books. They're on the books, just
hidden.
But your records will show like, oh, he was HR for the Army Rangers or some...
Yo, this is giving James Bond.
Kind of like that. But the difference is that they're known. That is kind of the next level down.
Oh,
like 007 agents
like
are known.
Top tier secrecy. Wow, so you can really just be erased off of the... Like, nobody really...
Yeah, your records are never fully erased. It's not like the movies like, he never existed. You can still find anyone's records. Well, if somebody ever says that they don't exist.
Back then.
Same thing.
Okay.
You just have to go through specific record systems, and you basically have to have a reason to be able to get those records.
Interesting.
So, yeah.
Okay. Well, they claim that he was tied to the CIA. Now, you're mentioning all that.
I'm saying it could be possible.
Okay, so that that's why you were mentioning. But that's why you were meaning that.
Because of all the system and...
Well, what we know about his background.
Yeah.
Okay, well,
he was in the Navy, so... It's,
well, yeah, in the World War II.
And World War II. And World War II, think of all the stuff we were doing during that time. The U.S. was in a lot of different things historically at that time.
True.
Based on his understanding of platonic shifts and all this other stuff, there's a lot of stuff they could have genuinely pulled him to train him on.
Okay. Remember that.
Okay, remembering. Remember
that. Note it down, baby. Yes. So, because of everything you're saying... His profile fit, right? He's also fluent in multiple languages.
Yeah, and that's another kind of giveaway.
And then he's a military pilot. He's a seismologist. And he's got like international work experience, if you think about it, because he's working with all these different oil companies and so forth. And he's got access to radio communication.
Exactly.
Hams. A hammy.
That's the thing. There's a lot of tech that this guy's caught up in that just...
Yeah, it just
to me,
like,
it doesn't lead me to think that you would be a normal Navy pilot.
Right. And they were also saying it because if you think about it, nobody ever really saw him.
Mm-hmm.
He was leaving. The neighbors would either see him leaving early in the morning or late, or coming back home late at night. So that's where the theory of he was in the CIA could be something possible. But the thing is, though, that from what I was reading, there's still no concrete. Like, apparently they looked. But they didn't find anything.
Mm-hmm.
They looked to see if he was in the CIA, but they didn't find anything. But at the same time, if what you're saying, if he's on top clearance, of course he's not going to have a record. If investigators are looking into
something like this, they would probably be able to pull a record like that.
Maybe.
But it's still, it just, that's where I think this gets a little fishy. Cause
it's a theory.
If he's if he's wanted for a murder... Genuinely, that would be one of the few times
that's a need to know.
That they wouldn't probably get told what he's on, but they would at least get told, oh, he's tied to this and this.
Yeah. Well, that's why a lot of people say that they believe the other theory more because it's more straightforward.
Yeah.
He killed him, he snapped, and then he disappeared.
It'd be a cool theory, and truthfully, he fits a lot of reasoning that he would be pulled up for something like that.
Right, exactly. So, but again, alleged, just a theory. There's no proof or evidence on that. Now, because of that, there was another theory that actually circulated because of this case, and it was huge. It was a huge theory.
Okay.
Now, it's the theory that some people actually believe that Charles Roger was a part of the assassination of JFK. Now, let me get you. I know this theory is silly. Let me tell you the theory.
All right, let's just hear this out.
JFK, remember, he was assassinated in 1963.
Mm-hmm.
But the murders took place in 1965. So I'm like, how is it that people believe that he was a part of JFK?
His parents found out.
That's actually one of the theories.
Are you? Okay.
There's some people, there's this book called The Man on the Grassy Knoll. Have you heard of it?
Yes, I know all about these conspiracies.
Okay. And so in the book, for decades, there's just kind of been a myth that they think that he somehow might have been the second shooter. Because apparently there were two shooters that they believe were the day of JFK.
History Channel has a whole documentary on that.
Yes, it's really good. Now, they are thinking, like, the authors would claim, you know, maybe he was a part of the hit team. Maybe he was a part of the whole situation there. They're not sure. But again, according to this theory, they believe that his parents might have known too much or found out. And so then he murdered them. I still don't think so.
But
it's just a theory. I don't know. Because to me, I'm like, you would murder that. I don't know. What if it's like
it just doesn't add up to me.
It's a reach. I think it's a reach, yes. But that is one of the theories that I saw. And it was huge because, obviously, the JFK assassination. But I saw it. I'm like, so he was a part of the hit team, like,
it
years earlier? Yeah, I don't know.
It
I just To me, I just, yeah, I feel you. I just don't.
No.
It doesn't seem heavy. Now, in the 1990s, okay, The most up-to-date.
Damn, okay.
Yes, the most up-to-date that we know. There was a couple. They were accountants. Their name was Hugh and Martha Gardiner, who had a passion to solve crimes and a fascination with true crime. They said, sounds like me and you.
I was going to say.
Well, sounds more like me.
Minus the accountant.
Yeah, exactly. They said that a lot of they were so cute because I saw the interview that they did with the news, and they were saying that a lot of their date nights were at the library, like trying to solve cases. Yes, I thought it was adorable.
Somebody's going to roast you because of how you said library.
Oh my God, did I do it again?
Yeah.
Oh, dang it. Dang it. I can't wait to get another message. Like, it's library, not library. No, but because some people were like, I think everybody's being funny about it. So I hope you guys are. Because sometimes I read it and I'm like, it sounds kind of mean, but and somebody's like, you dumbass. Fucking library. Library. Yo. No, you guys can roast me all you want. It's fun and games. It's all fun and games. But they spent over 5,000 hours researching, investigating, talking to leads, to family members, yes, to try to figure out if they could solve this case. And their investigation painted a very different picture of who Charles Rogers was. Mm-hmm. Now, this is just the couple that they just took it upon themselves to investigate and reach out to people on their own. This is also alleged, but this is their theory of what they believe happened based off of their investigation.
Hit me.
They believe that Charles was abused as a child. And that they said that when they talked to Fred and Edwina's family, that the family didn't have anything against Charles for killing them, and that they could actually see why Charles would want to do this. So that's why they're like, they believe that he was probably abused as a kid by them. And they said that at the time, Fred was a bookie. So it's believed why they believe that maybe the case was never really investigated, because let's just sweep it under the rug.
Mm-hmm.
And remember I said he was into some gambling situation there. So according to the Gardiners, though, Charles fled Houston after the murders and escaped to Central America. Okay. Specifically Honduras, where he continued working as a geologist in the oil and mining. Now, they claim that he was living there for years before being killed in 1975. Reportedly, he was struck with a pickaxe during a dispute over business dealings.
Okay.
So that's another thing that I was reading about, is that another reason could be why he got away so easily is because he might have known a lot of powerful people. Or he might have known some very wealthy people. Because if you think about it,
in the oil industry, of
right.
course, you're going to know a lot of wealthies.
And people are going to want to know you because you're going to be able to find certain things. So, and there was another interview that I read, or an article, I think it was a video. But they were talking about how he could find gold. Like, he could find certain areas like that. Or he knew.
Okay. Okay.
Yo, your face right
now.
Yo,
where you at, Charles? Where you at?
No. Well, now he's most likely dead. But they believe that he ended up being struck with a pickaxe during a dispute over business dealings. Now, the Gardiners, they present this as their most logical explanation for his disappearance based off of all the information and the research that they did. Okay?
You know, I like it.
I mean, yeah. I mean, it makes sense. It could work. It could work.
Yeah.
It's plausible. It's not that far off from the investigator's theory.
I agree.
He probably snapped. Yeah, probably snapped. Now, in this U.S. Sun article that I was reading, Hugh Gardiner, he says, "I have no doubt that he was probably killed down there. But what we do know for certain from interviewing people that had been down there in Central America, it was certainly Charles Rogers." So they are really adamant that they believe it was him.
Okay.
Yes. And even so, their version has gained a lot more traction than the CIA version or the JFK conspiracy theory. Because
I would hope that it would gain more traction than
well,
the JFK
conspiracy.
Right,
because this is more plausible than him being
the one of the hit. You know how many people are suspected of being the grassy knoll person?
Yeah, the man on the grassy knoll.
Yes.
And how do we know it's a man? Could have been a woman. Which also, by the way, I saw the photo of the man on the grassy knoll.
Yeah,
I don't
I
see
know.
Anything.
It's.
I don't even know what they're pointing at. Is he kneeling? Is he sitting? Is he laying? Is he standing?
I know.
I don't know. And after the police issued the warrant for Charles' arrest in 1965, he was never seen again. And 10 years later, In 1975, he was legally declared dead so that his estate could be prorated, the house.
Huh.
Yes, because a lot of the neighbors were saying it was an eyesore and that, you know, it was a very dark time.
They're like, do you see the weeds growing over there?
No, they're saying it because there was a murder.
No, I know.
Yeah. So despite this, the case ends up remaining officially unsolved, and Charles is still remembered as the prime suspect that murdered his parents.
Wow.
Yeah, and from what else I was seeing, okay, the bungalow at 1815 Driscoll Street, so where they lived, where the murders took place, it was there for a couple years, and it kind of was just a big reminder of what happened. And so eventually, the house ended up getting bought out, and they tore it down. And today, condominiums sit on the same ground where Roger's home once took place. And I found I found the Zillow listing.
I see it.
Yes.
And all I think is there's certain areas in Bergen County, and you know those areas, right off of 9W, uh-huh, as you're getting on to go up to Tarrytown.
Okay.
There's certain townhomes along that area, and now all I wonder now, seeing this, I'm like, I wonder how many of those homes were built on a murder ground.
Why? Oh, because of the...
Because it's the same style. And,
style?
And it's... Yeah. Built on a house that had been there. And
right.
Also think of all the history that
I know,
Jersey
I was
going to
say, all the history that's there. Yeah.
Alexander Hamilton. And
Alexander
I mean,
Hamilton.
The amount of duels that happened. And
yeah.
Hamilton literally quotes it. Well, everything's legal in Jersey.
Okay. Okay. I know. I get it. Damn. All right. We don't pump our own gas. You got to target me like
okay.
that. Damn. But... And yeah, so I found the Zillow listing. I'll even post it in the description if you guys want to see it. It is a really nice house.
I was going to say, it actually looks really nice.
It's really pretty inside if you want to see it. But
knowing the history, not living there.
No. Oh, you wouldn't?
Hell no.
Okay, so let's say there's a house that it's a lake house, and it opened up, and it got the price was reduced, and it's so pretty. It's like 3,700 square feet. It's got three bedrooms,
Cape Cod style,
Hampton.
Pool.
There's a balcony off of the edge of the master.
Your own private dock.
A private dock to the lake.
With a garage dock
style. Okay, big yard for the dogs to play
in.
Everything you want it to be.
But
it is built on top of...
What's the price?
It's affordable. You can afford it.
Oh, I'm buying it.
You're going to buy it, but I thought,
hey,
no, not for me, not the murder house.
You know how to sage stuff, so I'll just trust that your sage will work.
So for that, that's okay.
Yes, because that's
like,
somewhere I actually want to live. And you know, even if they don't want to leave, as long as you don't bother me.
Okay. Okay. We've got our verdict, everybody. We've got our verdict.
You don't bother me, you can stay.
Well, this story is called the Icebox Murders because... It was in the refrigerator, and that's what it was at the time. And it honestly has left Houston for decades. Like, this is one of their most unsolved cases there.
Really?
Apparently. Yeah, it's like, from what I was reading, if you are from Texas or Houston and you know about it, or let us know.
Comment down below.
Yes, but we were reading that this is one of the most infamous unsolved crimes there.
That's crazy.
And,
I mean, it
yeah.
seems very, like, what happened?
Right.
Where'd he go?
Right.
You know?
I agree.
What caused all of this?
And it's
know?
Just like, it's, yeah. And I mean, I
it's
can't
eerie
even
when you can't put a reason behind it.
Right. Or answers, like just
yeah.
anything to it. Yeah. No, I agree. Yeah. Thank you for joining us today on Macabre Mondays. Don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss a single episode. You can find us wherever you listen to podcasts. And if you know more about today's episode or caught a detail we might have missed, let us know.
Or if you have a story that's strange, sinister, downright spooky, please, I'm begging you, please just send it our way.
Yes.
You can head over to Macabre Mondays podcast at macabremondayspodcast@gmail.com and send us an email with your story, or jump over to our website, macabremondays.com, and submit your story. Yours just might be featured on an upcoming listener episode.
Follow us on social media by searching Macabre Mondays for photos of today's episode, updates, and a little extra spooky fun. Also, 13 Nights of Macabre, October 18th to the
13
30th.
Nights.
Put it on your calendars. We'll see you next Monday for another strange, sinister, and spooky episode. Stay tuned. More mystery is just around the corner. But until then, stay safe, everybody.
Deuces.
And stay curious, because life is not
Life just, is like a box of chocolates.
That's a good analogy for this, yeah.
You never know what you're going to get with our episodes.
Exactly.
So stay curious, ask questions, because it's probably questions that we have.
Yes, let us know, because even if you don't want to Google it or go on a deep dive, send it to me, because I will definitely probably
She will go on a Reddit dive until 5 a.m.
Yeah, it's very true.
All right, bye. See you guys.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.